We are in a book of Matthew, chapter 5, and we are going to start from verse 21.
Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment.
Jesus Christ is giving some Old Testament scriptures and telling these people what was written in the Old Testament. So he just says old time, but actually that is written in book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 13.
Thou shalt not kill.
Now here is saying, this was the commandment, thou shalt not kill. And he says, if you do that, you will have the danger of the judgment. This was the commandment. And if somebody breaks the commandment, God will judge them. That's what he was trying to say. But read the verse 22, Matthew 5:22.
But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire.
Here Jesus Christ is saying, you cannot say your brother, you are dumb or idiot or you are a fool. I think those days, danger of the council means they had some kind of council. If somebody says something against mother or father or brother, they will take them to the council, and sometime council will make the judgment and tell them to pay some penalty. But he says, if you say your brother, you are a fool, you'll go to hell. It sounds difficult, but if you are a Christian, it's not difficult. If you're angry at your brother and you wanted to call him fool, or you might have called him fool and you might have said something bad to him, and now you coming to church or you coming to the synagogue and wants to give offering to God, what should you do? Read verse 23.
Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison.
If you said something to your brother, you made your brother angry, and you coming to synagogue or church, giving offering to God, now people think sometimes, nobody knows what I did. And when they come and give offering to God or give something to pastor or somebody, they ignore or overlook the man's mistake and do not say anything. When you give somebody bribe makes you blind. So that means when you give something, those people will not find any fault. So people think God will be the same way. Let's give some money to God and God will not punish me. But Jesus Christ says God is not looking for your gift or offering. He's looking at your heart. So he says, leave the offering, go back to your brother, settle whatever the problem you have, then come back. And then he says, sometimes brother or anyone, if you don't settle the problem, they might drag you to court. And he says, while you're going to court, you're on the way, settle with that person and say, okay, whatever it is, let's figure it out. If not, they will drag you to court. And then when you go to court, they will be giving you some kind of sentence. You might go to jail. And it will be difficult for you to coming out of the jail until you pay all your penalties. So here the word of God is saying, if you have any problems, you settle with your brother, settle with the enemy, and don't drag that thing longer period of time. Because the longer we have grudge, more the problem we can face. So he say, settle it as fast as you can. Verse 26.
Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart.
Book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 14, he says, don't commit adultery. That's the commandment.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
You heard in the old time, this is what recorded in your book. Do not do adultery. But he says, now I'm trying to tell you, even though you don't do adultery, looking at a woman with the lustful eyes, you already have done adultery in your heart. Don't look at that woman with the lustful eyes. Because when you're looking at somebody innocently, that's okay. But you looking at, he says, with a lustful desire. And that's what the problem is. Some people have seen, they look at somebody, they follow that person, they take them a house number, they wait for them, they look for where they go to work, and all kinds of things they're keeping in their mind. And then we finally see what they do, wrong thing, and kill that person. And so that's what the Jesus Christ is warning. If they take the warning of Jesus Christ, don't look at with a lustful desire, you will not have killing, and you will not go to jail, and you will not have death penalty. So Jesus Christ is warning. Go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, and read a couple of verses, 24 and to 29.
To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman.
See what he's trying to say? The strange woman, her tongue is flattery. A strange woman never will use bad words. She will be very flattery.
Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids.
They look at you in the bad eyes, and they give you signal with their eyelid. And so he said, don't look at them, because their beauty is not real beauty. You see some ladies, the prostitutes especially, they make certain kinds of makeup. If they have holes in their face or this and that, you don't see anything. And so they attract people with blinking their eyes and giving them signal. So he said, stay away from those kind of ladies. Matthew chapter 5, verse 29.
And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell.
You're looking at a woman with the lustful eyes. So what he's trying to say, you already did commit adultery in your heart. And so your heart will think about it, and then you're going to do something, and you're going to go to hell. So he says, it's better to take your eyes off and you feel like touching somebody. Do you know how many people have some bad desire to touch somebody, and they're groping the girls and doing this, and they are in jail? So the word of God says, take your eyes off. Somebody says, how can I take eye off, or I have to go and do some surgery or something? He's just giving idea. It is better for you if you don't have one eye. You'll be going to heaven, or you don't have one hand, you can still make it to heaven. But two hands giving you some problems and taking you to hell, or two eyes giving you a problem and taking to hell, it is better to without that eye and without that hand. But there are some people, they do drastically, they will take their eyes off, or they will take a hand off, because he says so. But that doesn't mean anything. If your heart is not changed, you can take all two hands and two legs and everything, still you can think bad thing, because it's in your mind, it's in your heart. So heart has to be changed. But these are the things people cannot control until they are born again. You have to change your heart. If your heart is not changed, this thing doesn't mean anything. People can hear these things and they say, who can do these things? It is impossible. Okay, let's read verse 31.
It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement.
Here also says, it has said. Let's go to the Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1 and 2.
When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house. And when she has departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife.
If you don't like your wife and she did something wrong, give her divorce in her hand. Just certificate, just I don't need you now. You go and marry anybody else. It sounds like easy. You don't have to go to court. You don't have to spend money, nothing. But Jesus Christ says, it should not be like that. Let's go up to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, Matthew 5:32.
But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery.
This also, if somebody listen, he says, is very difficult. If somebody already divorced, then what's wrong? He says, if somebody is divorced, only he says, a divorce should be that lady did some kind of fornication, she was unfaithful to the husband, and then she was doing adultery. And so if you give divorce to that person, that was okay in the old law. But he says, if somebody gives the divorce to that lady and she marries somebody, that person also committed adultery. Somebody says, I didn't get it. What is this? So this is just like this. Just think that one lady was fooling around with another man and she is married. This person supposed to know, this is married lady, I should not go after her. If the husband of this lady says, okay, you don't want to listen to me, you want to go to that man, go. And he gives a divorce. So what happened? That man was already doing adultery with her. So now, if he marries with her, that doesn't mean that adultery went away. Because he just got somebody's wife and married to her. Jesus says, in God's sight, he's still doing adultery. Because he robbed somebody's wife. He took somebody's wife, and God does not give permit because he married. He took somebody's wife, and now that person has to divorce her, and that person let her go, then other person married her, the same person who was with her, they are still in adultery. So somebody will say, then what the person supposed to do? From this, that person who is finding some fault in his wife, he's supposed to convince that wife, what you found in the other guy, that I don't have it. I married with you, why cannot stay with me? And convince her to stay. The husband saw some mistake in wife. Jesus Christ is saying, forgive her and change her life. Then it will be all right. If you divorce her, she's going to go to hell. If that was not her fault, that's a different story. Then there is another rule in the Bible. If the man has doubt in the lady that you're going after somebody and she said, no, I'm not, then they take you to the judge and judge gives some kind of water to drink and she swells if she did something wrong, and if she didn't, then she is innocent. So they had some kind of law there. So here the word of God is saying, as much as possible, don't divorce your wife. That's the key here. Because from the beginning, God did not perform the marriage for divorce. As much as possible, try to mend your marriage. Don't divorce even you found some fault in your wife. Otherwise, you are letting her loose. She's going back to the man she loved or whatever. And they're both of them in adultery. And that's what the real meaning is. Let's go to the Matthew chapter 5, verse 33.
Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths.
Here is saying, in the old time. Actually, it's in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. He says, you make an oath, and then you fulfill the oath. So that means people sometimes make some promises to God, and God, if you give me this job, and I will give $100, or if I get a child, I give this and I give that. They just make an oath. But Jesus Christ saying, you know, you don't have to do oath like that. Matthew 5:34. He says you should not be making any oath or making anything like that or swearing anything. It is not good. Okay.
But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne.
Heaven is God's throne. You have no authority to swear by heaven. Then 35, he says, do not even swear by earth. So, because he says, earth is God's footstool. He said, don't swear by the Jerusalem, but that Jerusalem is the city of the great king. And who is the great king? It's Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords. So he's saying, not heaven, not earth, not Jerusalem, don't swear by anything like that. Read 35 and 36.
Nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black.
What's wrong with my head? I can swear by my head or my life. Somebody said their neck, their heart, or something like that. Says, what's wrong? It's my body. The word of God says, body is not yours anyhow. And here he says, but he says, even though you're coloring your hair, that doesn't mean you permanently can make your hair black like that. You color within 2 weeks, you have to color again and color again and color again. So he says you cannot even change the color of your hair, so you have no authority to swear with your head. So what is the solution? Somebody says, if I want to swear and tell these people that I'm telling the truth, so what should you do? Verse 37.
But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil.
Okay. Now he says, yes, yes, no, no. More than that is cometh of evil. Means coming from the evil one. The devil is the only one try to change everything. Why people lie? Because they want to hide something. So if somebody tells the truth, you don't have to worry about anything. Truth will be yes, yes, all the time. You cannot say yes one time and no one time and no one time and yes one time. You're confusing other people and you confuse yourself. But if it is true, did you do these things? If you didn't do it, no. If you are telling the truth, and if you are a Christian, if you have to suffer for the sake of Christ, you should suffer. It's a good thing to suffer. But we should not be lying, cheating, or doing anything wrong. Because here it says, your communication should be yes, yes, no, no. There is a life and death in your tongue. But Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, he says, when you saying something or preaching or communicating with somebody, how your tongue should be. Please read. Colossians 4, 6.
Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man.
Train their tongue to do this. Go to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verses 12 to 14.
The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be, and what shall be after him, who can tell him?
What he's trying to say, the fool keep on talking. Sometimes they talk, and doesn't know what they're talking about, and you cannot understand what the message is. So that's why Paul is saying, when you saying something, say with the grace. Sometimes some preachers say very fast, say very loud, and person who is sitting, everything goes over their head, and they cannot even understand what the message was. When we preaching or talking to somebody, we have to say such a way that the second grader or third grader can understand what the preacher is saying. Some preachers, when you're sitting and listening, you have to have a dictionary to find out what the man said. Some people are uneducated. It will go over their head, but at the same time, he will not able to win souls. So that's what the Word of God is saying. Fool person can keep on talking things which doesn't mean anything. We should be communicating with people easy way they can understand. Don't confuse people with your talking. Okay, go back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 38.
Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
Now here again he says, you heard it. Somebody says, I don't know where it is. Book of Exodus chapter 21, verse 24.
Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot.
Now, this was the law. If somebody makes your eyes blind, you make his eye blind. If he hits your own hand, you cut his hand. And so, if somebody breaks your tooth, you break his tooth. That's the law. So, but Jesus Christ saying, that is too harsh law. So, he wants to change it a little bit different. Let's read verse 39. Matthew 5:39.
But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also.
Now this bothers so many people. If somebody hit in your right cheek, turn the other one. If somebody really does that, what would happen? The person will be less angry or more angry. He's just trying to say, if somebody hits you, don't hit him back. That's the meaning. If you start to say, you hit me, okay, don't try to hit me here. That means you are trying to say, you hit me here. If you hit here, I'm going to do something. That's not the meaning Jesus Christ is saying. He's trying to say, don't take revenge. Revenge is mine, the Word of God is saying. So here he's giving his own example, but at that time it's like a prophecy. But he is saying something, if somebody smite you, somebody hit you, you don't hit them back. Go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 50 and verse 6. This is prophesied about Christ, but is fulfilled. We see in book of Matthew chapter 26 and 27.
I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting.
What kind of punishment he took, and he did not say anything bad to anybody. He's hitting on his face, the plucking is here, and spitting on his face. Everything this prophecy fulfilled in Matthew chapter 26 and 27. I cannot do what Jesus Christ did. It's so difficult. Book of Acts, chapter 7, Stephen, they were stoning him to death. He did not look at the stone. He looked at the heaven, and they stoned him to death. And he was going to die, but he says, Lord, forgive them. How did he get it? He got it from Christ. And so go to the 1 Peter chapter 2. He's saying we have to learn to follow Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 to 24.
For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow in his steps.
So he suffered for us, and he gave us an example. So what we should do? Follow his steps. Jesus Christ suffered for us, leaving a good example. Now we should just follow his steps, and we will be fine. Keep on reading.
Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes he were healed.
He says, if you need a healing for your wounds, or your pain, and your suffering, then do not take revenge. Jesus Christ suffered for us. He took all beatings for us, and he died for us. And so, if we're living in sin, we will not be healed, but we should give up our sinful life, following the example of Christ, then with his stripes, we will be healed. People want healing, but they don't want to forgive other people, give up the grudge. And so people sometimes they don't get healed. That's why we have to ask this person, do you have any bitterness with somebody? Do you have grudge with somebody? And so you take those things out of your mind, then with his stripes, you will be healed. Jesus Christ suffered for us. He left the path for us. And so we have to follow his steps. And once we know he died for me, he took my sin, so I don't have to live in sin, so I can live for him. And then whatever the problem I'm going through, God is going to forgive me, wash me, cleanse me, heal me, deliver me, and set me free. That's what the Christian life is all about. Okay, let's go back to the Matthew chapter 5 and start reading from verse 40.
And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away.
Now here, these three verses looks very complicated. He says, if somebody sues you for a shirt, give him jacket also. Somebody says, that person asks only a shirt. Why you have to give your jacket? This means you are helping somebody to rob you more. This is like somebody wrongfully doing it. Not you took somebody's shirt and that person sue you to get his shirt back. Sometimes people wrongfully ask you something which is not theirs. So what you do, he says, if somebody takes it, don't fight with enemy when they are lusting on your stuff. Give it away. That's what he's trying to say. Because our life is much more precious than the things of this world. We have to learn that. In our language, there is saying, Sir Salamat to Pagdi Pachas. That means, if your hat is lost, or somebody stolen your hat, or destroy your hat, don't sit and cry. He says, if your head is okay, if you're making money, and you are healthy, you can change 50 or 100 hats. So don't go after hat, or don't go after the things. So here the word of God is saying, if somebody tried to sue you for wrongdoing, taking your shirt, give your jacket away. Don't fight. And he says, if somebody tells you, mile with him, go 2 miles. Now somebody says, why somebody is going to tell me to go 1 mile? In those days, higher officer, police officer, or government officer, if they need some help, they will take any citizen. Hey, could you carry my bag? And they will carry up 1 mile. And then they will find somebody, hey, you drop it, take somebody. And they freeloaders, they will tell somebody. Jesus Christ says, don't be angry at those people. If they say 1 mile, you say, sir, can I take it 2 miles? Make that person happy. Just like somebody putting a gun on your head and say, do this. And don't try to fight with that person. Say, okay. You want $1, I'll give $1. So he says, you have to think, our life is much more precious than what the people abusing us. God is watching over us and he will protect us. And even though if we have to give our life, we will make it to heaven. Don't say no to anybody if you have it. Okay, verse 43.
Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy.
Now if you read in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 18, he says, love thy neighbor. In Exodus chapter 21, verse 24, tooth for tooth and eye for eye. Your enemy does something, do something wrong, but if the neighbor is good, you love him. So it doesn't say, if your neighbor is bad, love him. A good neighbor, you love him. If he punch you in your eyes, tooth for tooth, eye for eye, and tooth for tooth. But what Jesus Christ is saying, read verse 44.
But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you.
Now, this example, somebody cannot do it or cannot follow if they are not born again. Only you have to have the Spirit of God to obey this commandment. He says, you love your enemy. If they curse you, you pray for them. And if they despisefully use you or persecute you, you do good. And so, this is only happens when you are born again or a child of God. And when you go out of your way to help somebody who hurt you, you're going to win that person to Christ someday. But if you try to take revenge, they're going to say, what kind of Christian you are? We are not a good example to others. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 20 and 21.
Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head.
Now here is saying, if your enemy hungry, feed him. If he thirsty, give him something to drink. For doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now somebody says, if you put the coals of fire on his head, what does it mean? That person will be dead. This is 2,000 years ago, this is written. He says, if your enemy hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give something to drink. What happens, that person will feel in his spirit warm. Like in the cold days, they used to take something on their head and put the coals. And so that heat will keep them warm. Right now we put the hat and glove and a neck to keep our head warm so our body feels warm. Very cold weather, their head will be warm and their body will be warm. So he said, when you give somebody food and give somebody drink, they feel warm all over, feel that you are a good person, just like keeping them warm in the winter time. Okay, let's go to book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 45.
That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust.
He says, you act like the children of God. If I'm born again child of God, then I will be able to do everything what Jesus Christ said in this chapter. If you are born again child of God, then we will act like our Heavenly Father. Because the Word of God says, book of St. John chapter 8 verse 44, that some people act like their father, and their father is what? A devil. Please read.
Hear of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it.
Jesus Christ is talking to these Pharisees and other people. He says, you act like your father. He is a devil. He is a murderer, he is a killer, and he speaks everything lie, and he is doing from the beginning, and he is father of all liars. In short, if you have a devil, your father, you will do all kinds of evil things. Murder, killing, lying, and destroying people. But if we are the children of God, then we have God's nature. So that's what he's saying. What is God's nature? He says God gives sunshine to the evil people and good people. He gives rain to good people and evil people. So our God is a good God. If you are a child of God, then you look with the eyes of God, how God will treat this child, how God will treat that person. And according to that, you will do. He says, that's what God is. Verse 46, Matthew 5:46.
For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same?
If somebody loves you, your child, your husband, your relatives or somebody, and they love you and you love them back, what reward do you have? So he said, even the publicans, means sinners, they do. So if we are the children of God, and if other child is hurting, or other person or other family is hurting, and we are able to help them, then we should. You cannot love only your people, but love anyone who has a need. Matthew 5:47.
And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so?
Now again he's saying, salute somebody means give respect. If you give respect to somebody you know, then there's no big thing. But if you respect somebody, that person is not related to you, or he's not your higher officer or anything, and you respect that person, like I said other day, in our country, we say elderly people, uncle, granddad, or elder brother, and things like that. And so we respect them, doesn't matter what caste they are, what language they speak, if they are old enough, so we give them respect. So the word of God is teaching, if you salute somebody you know, no big thing, sinners, they do that. Matthew 5:48.
Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
Now somebody says, we cannot be perfect because we are always sinners. Jesus will never say something which we cannot do, right? He says, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So if we are a children of God, then we have the nature of God and we'll walk like our Father. I will give three different verses here. See, Luke 6:36, he says, be ye merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful.
Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful.
How we can be merciful? Because our Father is merciful. We are His children, so we will be merciful to others. 1 Peter 1:15-16, it says, be ye holy, as your heavenly Father is holy.
But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy.
Our Father is holy, so the Peter says, be ye holy, as our Father is holy. He has called us for the holiness. And then Matthew 5:48, he says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. He tells us to be merciful, he tells us to be holy, and he tells us to be perfect. Only way we can do these things, when we are born again children of God, then we have the Spirit of God, we have the Spirit of Christ, and when we have the Holy Spirit, we will live holy. Holy Spirit will guide you in every truth. So the Word of God says, it is not impossible for a Christian person to be merciful, to be holy, and to be perfect. Now somebody says, we cannot be perfect. God sent His Son because we were not doing the right thing, and we were doing all the wrong thing. But God planned that man should do right thing and good thing, and man was failing, so He sent His Son. Jesus Christ gave us an example. He died for us. He rose again. Now when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ. God sees through the blood of Jesus Christ, and what He says, you are holy. You are spotless. You are perfect in the sight of God. So now when we are perfect in the sight of God, then we can do the things what God desires. Go to the Ephesians 2:10.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
We are his workmanship. Whose? God's. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Without Christ, we cannot do anything good. So we were created in Christ Jesus, so we can now do good things. He says, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This was the plan of God, that man should walk according to his will. Man should be holy. Man should be merciful. Man should be perfect. Once we are created in Christ Jesus, we are a new creation. When we are a new creation, means that creation was not exist. 5:17, I'm sorry. 5:17.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or new creation. When you receive Jesus Christ, now we got his spiritual body, new soul, new spirit. Dead spirit is gone because he quickened us. And now we are the children of God, so we can do the things which are new things. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That means our life is new. Our desires are new. Everything like God. God has created us in Christ Jesus to do good things. So we cannot do anything good. If somebody is trying to do good things and failing, we have to know we can only do good things in Christ. If somebody says, you know, I'm trying to do something and I'm not able to do it, simple is this: call upon Jesus. Receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and everything will be smooth. So how it's possible? He says, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Is it possible? Yes. Why? Because Jesus said so. We are in the sight of God through Jesus Christ. We are perfect in the sight of God. No unholy person will go to heaven. Because book of Revelation, it says, there is no unholy thing will enter into the kingdom of God. So that means we have to be holy. We have to be perfect. We have to be merciful before we go to heaven. And how can happen? Plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, what it says.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
See, renewing your mind means be transformed. Change of heart. Once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we repent if you did any mistakes, God will forgive us, cleanse us, wash us, make us new again. And so then we will be able to do the perfect will of God. So shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. We need your grace in each and everything. Our eyes, our hands, our tongue, our body, everything is belong to you. We just learned that sacrifice our body as a living sacrifice to you. And that is a reasonable service. This body is belong to you. We are the temple of the living God. We are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we are belong to you. We have no authority over our body to do any sinful activities. So we surrender our life to you. Give us the victory over all sinful activities. Once we receive Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Father, or the Holy Spirit, the Triune God, will keep us holy and perfect, and we will make it to heaven. Without Christ, it is impossible. So Lord Jesus, give us grace to tell others, the people who are struggling and do not know how to live clean and holy life. Jesus is the answer for our problems. We commit ourselves into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.